This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for West Coast Bias, the show brought to you all the way from the best coast. It's the West Coast Bias, that is. Aw, yeah.
Hello and welcome to West Coast Bias. I'm your host, Jake Merrifield. I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Jamal Artis. Jamal, how are you doing?
How's it going, everybody out there on the West Coast?
Oh, my gosh. It's been, you know, we've been podcasting for about 3 hours now. And it's, you know, 11:15 at night. But we're like, we haven't done a WCB in a long time. I know, David Hamilton out there, you know, enjoys, he listens to like every single Bruin sort of thing ever, but he also listens to West Coast Bias, and we appreciate that. So, hey, Hamilton, how are you doing?
My name is Hamilton.
But, yeah, dude, it is September. Football season's in full effect. The Rams are okay.
They're undefeated.
The Chargers are 1-1. LA Chargers, show me your lightning bolt. I have a signed Philip Rivers helmet over there that they donated to the Grizzlies. I have a soft spot. I grew up a Raider fan.
Yeah.
But I have a soft spot in my heart for the Chargers. Even when I was a diehard Raider fan, I still hate the Broncos. I still hate the Chiefs.
Yes.
And I've always been, at worst, ambivalent towards the Chargers.
Yes.
But generally kind of had a liking for them. Mm. Maybe it's because of the powder blue and gold. I don't know.
They do have one of the best uniforms of all time when they wear the powder blue and gold. You know, I just thought about something.
I liked Natron Means. I loved, by the way, no football player in the history of the universe has made me more money than
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Than LaDainian Tomlinson, because when I first started playing fantasy football, he was my first draft pick in my first league, and like I won like the league like 3 years in a row
Of him. Oh, I'm sure. I don't know.
Show me your lightning bolts all day, live long day. Plus, Hacksaw Hamilton.
Right.
And all
that's
that.
What I was gonna say. You and I grew up on LA Sports Radio, and we could get San Diego up here
on the Mighty 690.
The Mighty 690, and so the big show. The guys like Mason Ireland started off down there, and so Hacksaw Hamilton, and that was kind of like their little mini glory years when they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do remember getting a lot of, and that was when the Raiders moved. So it was like getting a lot of Chargers news at the time, but.
Yeah, Steve Hartman, Billy Werndell.
Yep,
all that stuff.
I'm very ambivalent towards them. So
yeah, and I am not. I think I am just as much of a Charger fan as I am a Rams fan. And if both teams did very well, I'd be very happy to see it. And of course, now that you know, one of my my favorite radio show in the history of radio shows is PMS.
Right.
And of course, Matt Money Smith is the play by play guy.
Play by play.
So I mean, I have a lot. Oh, Jesus. I'm bearing the lead. Of course, the LA Chargers sponsored the LA Grizzlies, your LA Grizzlies.
There you go.
Right? That's why I have that helmet over there. They invite us out. We shot off the cannon at halftime, for goodness sakes. You know. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, we're starting this kind of on a huge digression. But the Chargers are 1-1. Rams are 2-0.
Right.
Lakers are about a month out.
Yes.
They don't have Boogie Cousins anymore.
No.
Sort of. I mean, they haven't, like, you know, gotten rid of the contract or anything, but he's injured for the year.
They've asked for an exception so that they're not hit. They don't take the cap hit with him.
We were so excited about Boogie, me and you collectively.
Yes.
And then he got hurt, and then he got, you know, involved in a criminal scandal where he allegedly threatened his girlfriend, baby mama.
Somebody.
About a wedding. And, you know, all that, whatever is whatever. I don't have a real strong opinion on that.
No.
Other than I hope the truth comes out and the law deals with them appropriately.
Right.
You know, which might mean not at all. It might mean something else. I get a little pissed off when I listen to the different Lakers shows, and it's like everybody gets so high and mighty about something that they don't really know everything about anyway.
And it, at this point, it's irrelevant.
And they don't know how to compare, you know, like...
No nuance.
No nuances of comparing cases together. It's right. Like, you know, whatever. Yes. But whatever. I mean, Boogie's out of the equation now.
Right.
And into the equation has been inserted one Dwight the Light Howard, which is just insanity, bonkers, weirdo. What was your response when that came? Because at the time, they were like, are we going to get Joakim Noah? Who was the other guy that was like floating around? There was one other guy.
Kenneth Faried. Who's been with the Nuggets and the Rockets, I believe.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, Lakers signed Dwight Howard to his weird contract where he's not, they could cut him at any time. And
it's,
you know,
not a guaranteed contract. Yeah, it's super incentive laden. It's not guaranteed. It's basically, it's a show me contract.
Yeah,
you know, based on where he's been in the last couple of years of his NBA career.
And everybody's making a big deal about how, like, every team he's been on for the last, you know, 5 years, when he's left, everybody's been like throwing a party and is like for him leaving.
Literally throwing a party.
Literally throwing parties. But the Lakers have Dwight Howard now. What do you think about all that?
Well, I mean, it just changes the equation. I mean, one of the reasons I poo-pooed it was because I thought, well, it's different from Boogie. You know, it's not just plugging in a big man. Boogie Cousins was going to space out the floor because he can pass. He was becoming a threat from outside, improving in that area. Dwight Howard doesn't do those things.
More limited offensively.
Right, more limited offensively. On the other hand, if Dwight Howard is healthy, defensively, he is an upgrade on Boogie Cousins because of the ability to rebound, block shots, sort of, you know, if he is healthy and plays to a level which he's capable of, he can be one of those people that blots out the sun in essence in the interior. You know, I'm just cautiously optimistic because I really want the season to go better than the last six. So you're just hoping.
That's not a real high bar, number one.
I know, but.
But I mean, like, better comparatively speaking, what
right.
their perceived abilities and talents are this year right. compared to before.
I mean, a lot of people were saying that even with Boogie Cousins, it wasn't going to go as good. And I disagree with that. I thought that made him.
Me too.
I thought that made him almost elite.
Yeah.
And now it's back to middle of the pack for me. But it's still better than what they've been before. But if Dwight Howard exceeds expectations, then I think it's back to almost elite.
And I'll tell you, I mean, I've been semi-disconnected from the NBA in the last few years just because the Lakers have been such a shit show. Even when they got LeBron, they became a shit show.
Right.
So much negativity around it that I haven't watched nearly as much basketball as I normally would. And I'm really looking forward to this year to watch more basketball and to be excited about the Lakers and things going on in the NBA. But you know, I'm everly the optimistic about my teams. But I still think that just having Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the same team are going to equate to something that's going to be pretty big. And it seems like they added some good pieces to it, right? But, of course, that's completely neglecting the fact that, well, maybe LeBron's getting a little old or maybe Anthony Davis isn't quite as good as he was when he was looking like an MVP a couple years ago. There's a lot of things that could go wrong, and that's the thing. This is kind of right. like a high stakes, kind of, you know, high ceiling, but probably still a low floor,
right.
which is kind of weird. You know, it's not right. like not like one of these teams that even if they don't live up to expectations, are still going to be a solid team. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I think a lot of teams are in the same boat. I mean, the same thing for the Clippers.
It's a weird NBA,
right? If Paul George is not healthy enough after surgery on both shoulders,
yes. Yeah,
if
yeah,
Kawhi Leonard has another issue, lower body issue, like he's had in the past. I mean, it's the same thing for the Clippers. It's the same thing for a lot of teams. It's, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about how Golden State's not going to be as bad as people think. Well, all it takes is Steph Curry missing 30 games because of a bad ankle again. And, you know, their season has sunk. So it's like that for a lot of teams. I'm just hoping that the Boogie Cousins thing is the extent of health issues for the Lakers.
God, I hope so. But then you figure it's like the season hasn't even started.
Exactly.
So you're like... And then, you know, LeBron doesn't have an injury history, but he got injured last year.
Right.
Anthony Davis has injury history.
Right.
Dwight Howard, injury history.
Right.
You know, I don't know about all these other guys that are going to be the role players. Danny Green's old.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, Rondo's ancient.
Right.
Hopefully not going to rely on him at all. You know, so, yeah, there certainly are. You know, you're just hoping that this isn't going to turn into, like, the Houston of the early 2000s, where it's like, oh, look, they got, I think it was early 2000s.
Steve Francis and Yao. And they would get to like 45 wins, but then Yao would have a foot problem.
Or the late 90s ones where they're like added Barkley and Drexler.
Right,
and all,
exactly.
And it's like they're never going to add up.
Right.
Like they're just too
They'll get to
old.
A point, and it just it never got any better after that.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. I mean, you know, you feel like,
everybody looks good. Every time I see something on Instagram, everybody looks ripped to the gills. So.
Yeah, and you're hoping that LeBron's got one of those. You know, he's motivated to come out and
revenge
do his thing,
seasons.
Revenge
yeah.
tour.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put my faith squarely in that until it's kind of proven otherwise.
Right.
All I do is my tickets are selling well, so that's good.
Oh, I'm sure they
that's
are.
Good. That's
I'm
good.
Sure they are.
That's very good. You're wearing a Kings hat.
Yeah.
When does that season start?
They had their first preseason games tonight.
Oh yeah, for real.
Yeah, so their opener is the first week of October.
My calendar's so screwed up now because the NBA season like totally like changed their calendar.
Right.
And so I'm like totally like weird, but I remember. So does like the NBA start roughly?
They start roughly
the same as hockey now.
No, about 2 weeks later. They start about 2 weeks later. So, you know, but of course everything will ramp up. You know, they'll be in the Lakers will be at the end of their preseason, you know, looking at how they're going to look at the beginning while the Kings are starting. But the Kings start on the road. They're in a rebuilding year.
Yeah, so they're going to suck again.
Yeah, pretty much. It's one of those scenarios where everything has to be perfect. All their veterans have to.
Are the Kings ever going to be good again?
Yeah, I think so. I think they.
Because they weren't good, and then they were really, really good. And then right.
I think they've gone into a cycle where they're trying to get back to the development area. Mm. So obviously, you're relying on a lot of young kids. Mm. And I think in a couple of years, based on their drafts, based on the talent that they have in terms of who they have that are younger, not so much the guys who are winning the cups, then yeah, I think they're going to be really good in a couple of years.
All right, fair enough.
But not this season. Sorry, folks.
Now. You're also wearing a shirt.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's LA Sports Hub. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just
showing I was thinking off. I was like LAFC or something like that.
Yeah, I'm just showing off.
You're covering LAFC still?
Yes. I'll be there Saturday night, the 21st.
Bill's bringing a guest in next week.
Right.
To observe.
I guess.
Not a guest, an observer. And she wants to start a podcast on LAFC. Is that what she said?
I don't know.
He said something. Weren't you on the text?
Yeah, he wanted me to discuss it with her, but I don't.
But LAFC, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, we might find you a podcast partner for LAFC. That's really what we're looking at.
That's funny.
I mean, isn't that funny? Well, like, what are the prospects for that?
Yeah.
You think so? You open to that?
You know me.
I mean,
I'm here with you. We're willing to talk about LA. LA sports is hopping. We're going to be hosting Super Bowls, Olympics, World Cups, championships. Please God.
Yeah. You know? I mean, yeah, that's what it's. Yeah,
we're gonna have our own network.
We might have a new LAFC podcast on the What's Bruin Show Network.
Yeah, there you go.
If you do that, I'm fine. You can put it on our. I'm thinking about maybe trying to get a hold of another Bruin podcast.
Ooh.
You familiar with the silver screen roll model?
Oh, of course. SB Nation.
But if you listen to their podcast feed,
yeah.
It's got like five different hosts going through. My favorite one is the one on like Fridays where it's the two gals talking just completely nonsensically about all sorts of things.
All sorts of Lakers stuff.
You know, including like hotness ratings on some of the players. It's very fun. But I think we could do that.
Yeah.
I think that would work.
Hey, we are expanding our network. Thanks to you folks listening.
Soccer talk, though. I don't know.
Hey, man. They are going to be a team that collects a trophy.
Well, you could definitely get Michael and Alicia from Reign of Troy to guest.
Telling you guys, it's a fun game to go to, even if you're just there. I mean, it's a fun atmosphere. It's amazing that from the dredges of the Coliseum, the sports arena that they were able to.
It's a pretty cool looking stadium. Yeah. I wish I could get there, but every time I try to get off the off ramp, I'm stuck in traffic for 17 hours.
I don't blame you.
F that place.
I don't blame you.
The Dodgers. Dodgers in full effect.
Yes.
Season's coming to an end.
Yep.
What do we got left?
They've got 10 games left.
10 games left.
Yep.
Does my cousin still do a podcast?
Yes, he does.
Like, it's not Scully Ave anymore.
No.
He changes to something else.
Yeah. I forget what it is, but he and Vincent Semperio, who's a...
Does it sound better than it did?
Yeah, actually, I listen to it sometimes. I jump in.
Okay, because when they did Scully Ave, I mean, I'm a little offended they never reached out to me and said, like, how do I do a podcast? Because, he was... talking to like a tin can.
Oh no, they got it
with the water running.
I think they got it.
Yeah,
I think they've got it down. Yeah, right. Talking about Jeff Snyder.
Yes. Love that guy, Jeff Snyder. He's a wonderful man. My cousin.
Yes, he's prolific on the Twitters.
He is
on the Dodger Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. Anywho, the Dodgers. How are they doing?
They are 10. Well, there's 10 games left since the last time we talked. They clinched their 7th straight division title. Only the Yankees of their dynasty years and the Atlanta Braves have beat that. They are going to be a lock for number one, at least in the National League. They are one game behind the Astros and Yankees to have home field advantage if they get to the World Series. Tonight, if you follow me on Twitter, I dropped off a rant. I've been masking my true self. I've been trying to stay optimistic all year. And I just can't.
That doesn't sound like you.
Yeah, I just can't. It's just so hard to watch this team be so good. And then whenever they make mistakes... and not envision them doing it in October and leading to the same kind of consequences that they've led to the last couple of years. It's so hard, Jay.
If they get into a series right now, like who would their pitchers be?
Right now,
who's their number one?
Their number one is probably going to be Ryu.
Okay.
And they pretty much go one, Ryu, Kershaw two, and then Walker Buehler number three.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, it's a hodgepodge of they've got these rookies.
They just lost Rich Hill, right?
Yeah, but he might be back. They're saying his knee injury isn't as bad as they thought. But that might not mean that he's like, you know, baseball's going through this weird stuff where they don't do things like the way they used to. So the Dodgers could look at their number four starter situation. It could be like Rich Hill for two innings, reliever like or one of their young pitching prospects like Dustin May for three innings, and then like a hodgepodge of relievers for the next four innings to close out a game. And that's kind of a trend in baseball these days versus having somebody go in there and try to get you seven innings and then give it to the bullpen.
Right. And when they do give it to the bullpen, I mean, every time I seem to turn on a Dodger game, it's like, you know, Kenley Jensen's given up like, two, three runs or whatever.
Right.
He's
looked better recently. He hasn't blown any saves in those last couple opportunities, and he's looked good. He's had clean innings. But, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like it's hard for me to be optimistic. You know, the offense stopped hitting all of a sudden. You know, we were talking about they set a record for home runs, and the next thing you know, they can't hit any home runs. It's like, you know, Cody Bellinger was supposed to run away with the MVP, and now he's hitting like 225 in September and getting on base and slugging less than 60% of the time, which is bad. When you figure he was doing it at a 900 clip the whole rest of the season.
All right.
You know, Ryu was supposed to be winning the Cy Young, hadn't given up more than two runs in like more than one game. And then for four straight games, he gave up seven runs.
Ouch.
Yeah. It's so, like I said, on Twitter, I went off on a rant. If you follow me, I'm not going to be optimistic anymore. It's just going to be the true self. Just a lot of F-bombs probably dropped. I mean, I'll be there. You know me, I'm a diehard fan. I'll be there. I already set my calendar. I'll make sure I'm going to be there for the first playoff game. I hope I get permission from the boss, my wife, to go to the second one, because I won't be able to afford World Series tickets, so I might as well go in the early playoffs. But I'm not optimistic about their chances. This is a tougher National League than it has been in the last couple of years.
Who are they going to match up in?
Right now looks like, you know, the wild card winner. So that could be the Cubs or the Nationals. And the Brewers. Those are the three teams and the Cardinals that are kind of rotating in that atmosphere. Atlanta for sure is going to be the number two seed. So that's one of their tougher matchups, a team they beat last year, but it looks like they've improved this year in the next round. So in order to get the World Series, they could be facing a tough Atlanta team or maybe a tough Cardinals team. You know, the bugaboo that they beat them twice already in this run. So that's part of the reason why I'm not optimistic. And then you look on the other side, you know, the Yankees and the Astros can't stop mashing the ball. And so even if they get to the World Series, it's like pitching always wins. But you look at those lineups and how the Dodgers did recently against the Yankees at home, and it's like, well, I'm not too optimistic if they can get through those lineups and win four out of seven games.
Would you rather have a Dodger team that wins a division every single year, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times in a row, but then doesn't quite get over the hump? Or would you rather see them just like, you know, bottom out, leading to some sort of change that leads to them starting over and building again to where you have, you know, I mean, to me, it's a very clear answer, but I'm like, where are you? Because, you know, that's what you see a lot of Dodgers fans kind of complaining about,
right. Being
stuck where they're at. But it's not stuck in the middle.
No.
It's stuck at the top. It's just
stuck at the top.
Not quite at the tip-top.
You know what? I think I'd rather see them win every year like they are now, just because one of these years it's just going to happen. It is just going to happen. Stuff is just going to fall in place for once.
The odds say.
Yeah, the odds say.
The more chances you get, the more bites of the apple you get.
Right.
I think that's a very good way to look at it. So don't forget that, Jamal.
I know. I'm
trying to cheer you up, man.
But I thought this was going to be the year, and it's seemingly less and less have that feeling because there's just so many things. You know, injuries at the wrong time, players slumping at the wrong time. Like, does this team look like they're going to fix everything by October? And the answer is no.
Kershaw was the ace last year, right? Still. This year, he's not.
He's not.
Next year, will that drop off even more? Will Walker Buehler overtake him?
Yeah.
Because
it's another year.
How old is Ryu?
Ryu is just under 30, I believe.
Okay. So he's still got maybe a couple years of top production, maybe?
Right. Maybe.
So, I mean, so we're seeing Kershaw in his kind of slowing down years, right?
Right. But then, you know, the Dodgers have, like I said, I mentioned this guy, Dustin May, who's their number one pitching prospect, and they got this other guy named Tony Gonsolin, who's pitched really well.
So there's guys in the pipeline.
There's guys in the pipeline that Kershaw might not be relevant enough to even matter at that point.
Are there weirdo freakazoid Kershaw fans?
Yes.
in the same way that there are weirdo, completely
Kobe
belligerent
fans?
Asshole Kobe fans?
Yes.
There are?
Yeah. If you say one thing, there are people that I know that I, like Kershaw gives up a home run and people are like, you know, he just doesn't look quite the same. And then people just jump on that person.
Yeah.
And they're like, the Twitter sort of what is it? It's like piranha to raw meat, right? It's just like if you say one thing about him, it's people freak out in a way, saying that he's washed or he's not good as he used to be. Or when he has a good game, you know, the next thing you know, people are retweeting your tweets from April.
Are you on the washed train?
I'm not. I'm just
I'm saying like saying somebody is washed as opposed to saying somebody
is
washed up.
Yeah, I don't even.
Is that what that means? Up?
Is that what it means? I had no idea.
I had never heard washed until like last month, and then every podcast I turn on that has some millennial asshole on it. They're like, "Oh, he's washed. Oh, he's washed. Is he washed?
Is that
washed?
What that means? They just dropped it up.
I can't just say washed up. I mean, Jesus.
I had no idea.
All right, I'm sorry.
No, in terms of Kershaw, you know, it's just gotten to the point where it's funny. You can say he's gotten to be a better pitcher because he doesn't rely on the fastball as much. You know, it's not all about the strikeouts. It's just about getting outs as much as you can. But anybody who, you know, in the same way that, like, when Kobe lost his fastball, obviously it had to do with an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Kershaw. You know, his back has given him trouble the last 3 years in a row. And you have to say he's not the same guy who was going out there and winning 21 games, striking out 300 people. It's just not. And you have to acknowledge that. But anytime you mention that and you bring up the fact that, you know, in the playoffs, he hasn't had that complete dominant run. He's had some good games here. He's had some great games there. But there hasn't been a situation where, like, you knew he was going to win every game. And so the Dodgers were going to win a championship as a result. Then, you know, people get mad and they freak out and they say that you're not a real fan or whatever. But the reality is that there is an aspect, a narrative to sports. And part of that is being clutch player in championship moments. And he can't claim that. I'm sorry. He just can't. He's had his opportunities and he can't claim it. If it happens this year, I'll be the happiest. My favorite quote from National Lampoon Christmas Vacation. Happiest bunch of assholes since... Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny fucking K. That'll be me.
Yeah.
But until he does it, I can't be in that fan category.
And I think that's fair. I mean, there's really nothing more annoying to me than the Kobe fan, the unreasonable Kobe fan, I should say.
Right.
Where they're a Kobe fan at the expense of being an actual Laker fan.
Right.
And it's just like, oh my God, what are we doing here?
Right.
And just some of the steaming pile hot takes that they'll come out with to justify all the, you know, the negatives of his career,
right.
And not just accepting it all for what it is. I mean, I certainly was a huge Kobe fan when he was a Laker,
right?
But you know,
there were times
where
I was
a lot of things that
screaming no,
yeah. There's a
no
lot
at the TV.
There's never been a more no. Oh, awesome, Kobe, good job.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, you know. That is a pretty rough part of being a fan in LA,
right?
You know, and it all started with Jordan. I mean, it's all Bill's fault. I mean, you go back to it. It's all everybody became Jordan fans at the expense of everything else, and then you just kind of went off from there. I think.
Right.
All right. Well, Jamal, do you have anything else to talk about?
Nah. Follow me on Twitter at KingsPapa1015.
Nice.
Follow Jake at
WJake68. Yeah.
So, you know, you'll see me tweeting about LAFC this coming Saturday. And, of course, we'll both probably be tweeting about UCLA football. And then in the coming days, as the Lakers ramp up, I'm sure we'll be doing more of these.
And we'll go to some games.
Maybe. Ooh. I would appreciate that. And hopefully it'll be a fun October. For
you
got to
buy me
Dodge
a soda.
Fans.
That's the price.
Dude, maybe. I'll buy you 10 sodas if, if you take me to
maybe
Laker.
Maybe parking, too.
Yeah, I'll do that,
We're
too.
Gone.
Yeah.
We're gone.
Yeah. Hey, you get free parking in my house. We go Uber. It's cheaper.
Hey, if that works for you, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So, but as we always say on West Coast Bias Show, it's the West Coast. It's the best coast. We're the West Coast.
West Coast is the best coast, what I'm told.